10 of Lent, and we'll start with the video first.
Today we're going to listen to Luke 5, and this is a wonderful story about where Jesus is walking along the shore, runs into Peter and his friends and brother who are fishing. They fished all night. They haven't caught anything. He asks to get in their boat so that he can speak to the crowd. When he's done, he tells them to cast out, and they don't want to, but they do because he tells them, and they catch this huge load of fish. Now, as you know, today we're going to listen to Luke 5, and this is a wonderful story about where Jesus is walking along the shore, runs into Peter and his friends and brother who are fishing. They fished all night. They haven't caught anything. He asks to get in their boat so that he can speak to the crowd. When he's done, he tells them to cast out, and they don't want to, but they do because he tells them, and they catch this huge load of fish. Now, as you know, Faith Come Aspiring starts listening groups among the extreme poor. And in one of the listening groups I was attending, a lady told me how this story had so deeply impacted her. Because they live in such poverty, she was always searching after food and felt like her efforts were just wasted. But when she heard this story, she saw that the disciples had been fishing all night. But when Jesus told them and when they listened to him, they received and got the food they needed, and that she didn't have to worry. And so she began to actually trust Christ, ask him what she wanted to do, and her testimony was that now God was providing for her, and she wasn't working and searching after those things, but trusting Christ. So throw your net where Jesus tells you to, and God will provide.
All right. Let's go to the one app where it's today's passage will be Luke 5, 1 to 16. I'll read. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he will withdraw to desolate places and pray. Next scripture is from Acts 5, 12 to 42. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them in cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together a council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported. We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before the day, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all those who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He, too, perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We're going to the one devotional. I'm going to read from there. The devotional. When Peter, the professional fisherman, was asked to let down his nets for a catch by Jesus, he was reluctant because he knew better. He was tired and had toiled all night and caught nothing. The turning point of the story is when Peter follows Jesus' direction. The amount of fish caught was so great that they nearly sank two boats. Instead of pointing out Peter's lack of faith and saying, "I told you so," Jesus built him up and pointed him to a grander vision of saving souls instead. Peter left everything to follow Jesus after recognizing Jesus is the Son of God and pursued God's purpose for him. The question is, what does it mean for you to leave everything and recognizing Jesus as the Lord of your life? So if you want to follow along, we're going to say that prayer together. Father, we pray for those working in the healthcare industry, doctors, surgeons, and nurses. We know that many have to work long hours to keep the system going. Bless them with strength and skill and grant them proper rest. Amen. And so while I was reading these two passages, I think both of them, like, there's so many things inside. But one of the things that jumped out was actually, was from a Pharisee. Today we're going to learn from the Pharisees. And so Gamaliel is a teacher of the law that was held in great respect by everybody, so including all the people. And when the apostles were arrested, and as we saw in the passage, apostles were arrested, and then the other Pharisees, they wanted to harm them or kill them, Gamaliel stepped up and he advised them not to. And so basically saying that if it is from man, it will fail on its own. If it's from God, you are basically going against God. And this actually is pretty personal to me, because I think I was one of those people who was like, "Oh, this is bad." And so as a background, I'm going to share that I grew up in a very conservative church. My parents were both, my parents were pastors and then missionaries, and then I grew up in a fairly conservative church. They never outright told me that, that what I need to believe in, that the charismatic church is bad and all that. But then growing up in a conservative background, like not just from them, but not from them, but like around me, like I grew up thinking, these people laughing in the spirit or these people falling down, it's are you sure that's from God and all that? And then, so growing up, I had this mindset of like, oh, this is bad. I should be aware. I should not be going to these things. Funnily enough, now I'm working in a charismatic church. And so I think one of the biggest mindsets that we have is that when we see something we don't agree with, disagree with, we immediately want to be opposed it and, in a sense, attack it. And that was, I confess, was my mindset going into these things as I was around like my teenage to younger adult years. And that was like, oh, this thing's definitely wrong. I can go to the Bible and search up all these things and then I'm going to disprove you. But then I think, well, it wasn't because of this passage, but now looking back at this passage, how I was introduced into the like believing that the Holy Spirit still works today is through actually getting to know and seeing through time that this is actually a work of God. And so, like Gamaliel, I think a lot of times, well, not like Gamaliel, like the other Pharisees, a lot of times for me, my immediate reaction to seeing something that I find strange or goes against my initial thought, I want to be like, oh, that's not from God. But like Gamaliel taught, sometimes give it a little time, right? If it's from man, it will definitely fail because you've seen so many examples throughout history that if it's not from God, it fails. But if it is from God, we should be chasing after it, should be going after it. And if we don't, like he said, maybe we might be found opposing God, right? And so it's just a short testimony and personal nugget that I found really interesting. So as we head into worship, maybe we think of some things that we immediately oppose. Now, obviously, we're not going to say everything is that is going to be from God. We have to check against Scripture, check with like those who are deeper in the faith. But I think we should not immediately oppose, right? And so, as we reflect about some things that we might be doubtful, let's pray and reflect and see if it is actually from God or from man.
Knock on the door.
Yes, we do say yes, Lord, and we just want to know you more. We want to chase after you because, Lord, you love us so much, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for being with us, Lord. And let us not, when we see you, let us not immediately think of the worst. But, Lord, let us open our hearts and allow you to prove your love to us, Lord. And we just thank you because you do. Do that again and again, Lord. And so as we go into our community prayer, let us pray for those who are battling cancer or going through chemo, radiation therapy, or surgery. Let us just pray for God's love and healing over them. Also pray for those with illness and for those who don't know our Lord yet. Just pray for healing and their salvation. Let us pray for those with other illnesses and just God's healing hand be on them. Let's pray for those looking for looking for jobs. Just pray for God's leading and providence. Thank you. then we go into our missions focus. Let's pray for Peace Sophia in Japan and Grace in Cambodia and OSS House with PGNEO. Let's pray that God